Let's bow in prayer before the Lord. Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of life and the gift of family, the gift of church. Lord, as we fellowship with one another through the power and the presence and the authority of your Holy Spirit, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that as we come to him, not only do we have the grace and love of Christ, but we are formed into this church family, a family that does go beyond the walls of this local church building, but to the Christian community that's here and around the world. In that sense that we are never alone because Jesus is always with us, and there are brothers and sisters, family members in Christ that we can turn to and we can experience joy and support. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us and within us. And in the ways that the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, Lord, continue to draw each one of us ever closer to you, that we would be witnesses of your glory and witnesses of your love and grace to testify to others of the goodness of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, we do pray for our graduates. Lord, we pray for Toby as he graduated from college and begins that master's program. Lord, we pray for Adam, and we thank you that he has that job, those jobs lined up. And Lord, we pray that he would take his knowledge and experience and wisdom and share that counsel with students. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Zoe and Emily and Josie and Josie. Lord, as they have plans, that they continue to figure out what those plans might be. Lord, we pray that you would be at the center and that you would guide them and that you would counsel them through the promised Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blessings they are to their families and to their friends and to those who love them. And Lord, as we think of the joys and the concerns of our congregation, Lord, as we list them in the bulletin for weekly prayer, Lord, I lift up to you young Finn, who has received the results. His parents, Eric and Anna, received the results from the MRI to show that that small cyst, that non-cancerous cyst in the pineal gland, which is at the center of the brain. Lord, we pray that the diagnostics that will happen from those reports in the future MRI, Lord, we pray for treatment. We pray for a lessening of Finn's headaches, and we pray for wisdom and strength for Eric and for Anna as they guide their son through this time. Lord, we know that you are the great physician to heal our physical hurts and to heal our spiritual sins and to heal our emotional pains. Lord, we pray that we would continue to give ourselves to you in this time of worship and in each and every moment of life, that we would remember to pray, that we would study your word, and that you would fill us with knowledge and experience and wisdom to live us through this world. Lord, as you have united us together in this time of worship, unite us now as we offer the prayer of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'll be reading from John 15:26 through 16:15. When the counselor comes, who will I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can no longer see me. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I have been around long enough to know that you really don't pay attention to how long the sermon is going to be, or most of you are not concerned about that. And I've been around long enough that I really don't care. Not really. I do care. I tailored the sermon to the time of the service that we were going to have. We were at this time at the 8 o'clock service, and we got out in 63 minutes. You don't care, do you? I just thought I'd share with that. So I know that many of you have other things to do, and I have tried to focus in on an outline of this passage to hit the meat so that we might be reminded of what? The presence of the Holy Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that is how we live. That's how I teach. That's how I preach. That is how we know how to worship. That's how we get involved, is through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to quickly go through some of the key spots of this passage, knowing that we'll come back to them in a couple of weeks. In chapter 14, John 15, verse 26, when the counselor comes, we no longer have to wait for when the counselor comes. The counselor came on Pentecost Sunday. Last Sunday, we focused in on Ascension Sunday, when Jesus rose in his resurrected form from the earth up into heaven, and then 10 days later came the day of Pentecost. I know that you are a quick-paced group, and so we didn't wait 10 days. It's only 7 days from Ascension to today on Pentecost Sunday, when the counselor would come. We have had the counselor in our lives since that very time. Jesus promised that he would send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, who will testify about me. The working of the Holy Spirit in our lives testifies and confirms what Jesus Christ has shared with us in Scripture. The disciples, those original disciples, they were not left alone. They had to wait those 10 days for the counselor. And that's a fantastic word. If you think about the story of the birth of Jesus and the prophecies going back to Isaiah 9:6, prophecy was that he would be a wonderful counselor. In John 14, Jesus is talking and preparing his disciples after the time of the foot washing and the Last Supper. In 16 and 17, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit of God is with us forever. Jesus promised it, and so we know it to be true. And then in John 14, 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So we know the Counselor to be the Holy Spirit. And the Counselor will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Remind us of everything Jesus has said. That is the power of the Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. And then verse 27, and you also must testify that you have been with me from the beginning. Must. It's an imperative in the Greek language. We have no choice. It is not something I am going to feel like doing today. It's not something whether I want to do it or not. It's not our decision. But Jesus says must. I loved it, Casey. Do not forget to pray. That's a must requirement of all Christians. And we must testify. That means we have to be sharing our faith with others. And as we explored in the last couple of Sundays, it doesn't mean we always have to go out and bring people to a new relationship in Christ, but we are here to support and love and encourage. But we are to testify of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Must testify to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. Don't raise your hand. It's a rhetorical question. Anybody gone astray besides me? Astray means we have sinned. Going astray means we are not following in the light of Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us we are all sinners. I have told you this so you will not go astray. So when we recognize our sin, instead of going further astray, we turn around and we repent and we come back to Jesus Christ. But he has told us, he has told the disciples, because they are going to face the same persecution that Jesus himself faced. And he's preparing them, he's warning them about what was to come so that they would be ready and prepared to make it through. I mean, if you think about those disciples, they are starting a new ministry. They have been following Jesus around for 3 years, and now he's no longer going to be with them. That mantle of teaching and authority and responsibility rests upon their shoulders. But be patient. The Spirit, the Counselor, will come. In John 13, verse 19, Jesus said, I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe that I am he. Jesus is about preparing us for whatever might come, that we are ready so that we may stay strong in our faith. What might they endure? In 16, verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. The religious leaders of the day thought it was more important to stay true to what their religion was, and so they were willing to kill somebody if they spoke against the Jewish tradition. They have done some of those things before. They were so opposed to the gospel, they were so blinded by false religion, that they were willing to murder Christians and call it an act of righteousness. That had happened before. In John 9, 22 and 34, the healing of the blind man. The religious leaders told that blind man that if he testified in the name of Jesus, they would expel him from the synagogue because of his defense of Jesus. And so he was expelled because he continued to testify. In the raising of Lazarus, it so disturbed the Jews that they tried to kill both Lazarus and Jesus. Why? Because they did not know the Father. That means they were ignorant. They were ignorant of God and could not see who Jesus was. And so Jesus is telling those disciples, be prepared for what will come. And so Scripture tells us, be prepared for what will come. Were any of you disturbed by the quotes, the comments that Elliot shared that he's hearing from middle school youth? We have to be reminded of what people are facing so we can volunteer and we can pray and what was that last? Oh, give. So that we can do those things. And then Jesus knows that he's no longer going to be with them. Now, in verse 5, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I said these things, you are filled with grief. Those disciples, they weren't concerned about the future of Jesus. they were focused on themselves, what was going to happen to them. A reminder that we can be too focused on ourselves. And in the reality of the Christian faith, as we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our focus is not to be on ourselves, but to go outward to others. That's the beauty of being a family of God. To be praying for our graduates as an example. To be praying for those 67 youth that made a public profession of belief in Jesus Christ through the ministry of Youth for Christ. Our ministry is to be centralized around Jesus, but not just within our church. The fact that Jesus had to be lifted up for the counselor to come, as Jesus had walked around, wherever Jesus was, there was the ministry. But now that Jesus was no longer going to be with them, it's wherever the disciples would go. And they did not travel as the 11 and then the 12 again. They went in different places. And you could see how the church spread around the world. Wherever high school graduates of faith go, they have an opportunity to testify to their faith in Jesus Christ. Wherever we might go, we can testify to our faith in Jesus Christ. Amy was up on Friday and my family was here. We got to go, we ate out at a restaurant 3 meals in a row. I think that's the first time in my married life. And we went out, and everywhere we went, we met people that we know. And we bowed for prayer, and the one and the family that was next to us, they bowed in prayer as they ate, or before they ate their meal. We are testifying just in prayer about who we are. May we continue to testify, because the promise of the Scripture is real. It is true. The Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. Just as a fan blade is to remind us of that movement of the Spirit, so Jesus gives these elements to remind us of his love and to remind us of his grace. That in the sacrament of communion, we remember that night in which Jesus would be betrayed, when he would be arrested, that he had first gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And as they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he shared it with them and said, "Drink of this, each of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we come to this sacrament to remember your love, to remember the grace of Jesus, and to remember the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, as these elements of faith, we pray that you would bless them in our time of remembering, that as we receive, we would be encouraged, we would be emboldened to go forth and testify in your mighty name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So I invite you to take the bread, to peel back that top layer of the elements. Remembering Jesus, take and eat. And then with the cup, remembering the covenant of the shed blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin, take and drink. Having believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and having received these elements, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit blesses you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Please stand if you are able, and we will sing our closing hymn, which is number 259, Breathe on Me, O Breath of God. And then please remain standing for the spoken benediction. And then our benediction and song, which will be number 608, the first verse of May the Grace of Christ our Savior. Breathe on me, breath of God.
May the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit bless you with his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.